When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus of Doom, and we are diving back into more danger creatures because it's Spooptober and there's lots of more creepy creatures or whatever to talk about. How's it going, Lotus?
I'm good. And it just happened that, you know, we had started this before Spooptober, but, you know, it's just going to bleed right into it because planning, yeah, definitely not coincidence.
Yeah, we totally planned that to happen that way.
Yeah, no, 100%. We planned that in, what, August that this would line up?
Yeah, we're thinking way far. We're playing the long game. This is 4D chess happening here. Hey, it was... Welcome back to the show.
That's exactly how we play stuff.
That's how it works. Style. That's how it works here, because we're that smart and organized. Welcome back, everybody. We've got some new, new creatures for us to discuss. Not necessarily new to the games. Nope, some of them are
very old.
Very old, and we will be going over that. But here, let's dig into it. We're starting off with a creature, and again, we're just going alphabetically through these. We have some of the creatures today with less lore than normal, so we will be doing a little bit of speculating. The first one we have is actually a very new creature. Here, I'm going to put it up on screen, and of course you can join us on the YouTube channel, Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel, or for the live streams over on twitch.tv/robotsradio. Here it is. Check this sweet, sweet, beautiful boy out. This is a Hermitage? Hermitage Servitor.
It's a nightmare creature.
It's a freaking nightmare stallion. This is a creature that looks kind of like a horse with a really elongated, weird head with a big gaping mouth and tons of eyes and spikes coming out of its head.
But the mouth is like where the neck is.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh, it's so disturbing. So here's what it says on the UESP article, which is, of course, where we go for our lore bits that we start out with, as usual. It says, the Hermitage Servitor is a strange Daedric monstrosity from Apocrypha that can be summoned by conjurers and used as a mount. God knows why we'd want to get on the back of that thing, but...
It's probably wet and slimy.
Probably. Also, you might accidentally touch an eyeball while trying to grab the stirrups.
Would you feel it if it blinks? Like, do they all blink in unison?
Oh, gross. I'm sure there's probably a phobia that's something about, like, lots of eyes on things.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, it's got to be similar to the one where, like, lots of holes on stuff. Like,
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of that. It's not going to give me nightmares, but I definitely wouldn't want to touch it. you know?
Sure, sure. especially if they all blink in unison.
Oh, God. Or not in unison. Just a lot.
Oh, man.
Just
a lot of sync blinking.
Oh, so weird. Okay, it goes on. It says, although its body plan is generally equine in appearance, like a horse, the Servitor possesses many tentacles and unblinking eyes, as well as a hideous hide mouth, or I'm sorry, wide mouth that stretches down its neck. They are sometimes armored for use as war mounts. This was a creature that came out recently with the most recent expansion for ESO, because it's all about Apocrypha and Hermaeus Mora and weird, creepy monstrosities that are kind of
this thing
Cthulhu-esque. Yeah, this is like if Cthulhu was a horse.
Yeah, this thing is just very unpleasant. I do not like this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's
I'm big into the Hermaeus Mora stuff. This is just weird.
It is just weird. It's okay, so the lore perspective, we don't know the origins of these. They seem like Daedric beings that you can kind of summon and use as a mount, right? Just like any other Daedric being that you want to summon and just is now your servant and it does a thing. This has a back, you can ride on it, right? Kind of like a horse. The meta perspective of this is the designers were going, we're going to Apocrypha. Apocrypha has a bunch of creepy, weird Cthulhu-esque type things. We've got the horse model, right? We need a new mount. We need something that we can graft onto the skeleton of a horse, because that's how, not a skeleton in the sense of like this thing's like actually living
skeleton,
bring thing,
like an actual skeleton,
right, like a programming skeleton. Like these are the legs, and the legs move a certain way. This is the back, and the back moves while you ride. That kind of thing,
hence
right?
Why the weird mom mouth is probably coming out of the neck, because it's
right.
Like, that's the reasoning to it.
Right. So if we make something roughly horse-shaped that fits on top of this skeleton, we could use it as a mount, but it's definitely not a horse. Right. That's what you get.
Yeah. So you have this skeletal rigging of this disgusting whatever this thing is.
Yeah.
And I just...
Can it just close its mouth? That's what I want to know. Because it's like...
That's...
It's so big.
It's just always shocked. It's just always like,
oh. Right. For our listeners, I need to describe this. If you haven't seen it, imagine the head of the horse is just like a big stump covered in eyes and like horn-like tentacles that come off the back of it, almost like antlers, right? But then from what would normally be the bottom of the horse's jaw all the way down to like the horse's sternum is a gaping maw with lots of teeth.
Yeah.
Can it chew? Can it close the mouth?
Eyes everywhere, which I assume, again, it's just very unnerving. I assume it just looks damp. The whole creature
just looks damp.
Damp.
The saddle. The saddle is basically a tattered old cloth just laid over the back of this thing, and somehow it has reins that go to the front of its head, like the top of its mouth,
yeah.
Which would normally be like the, you know, the mouth and nose of the horse,
the bit,
right?
Right. Exactly. The bit go right in the mouth. Yeah.
But there's no. The mouth is gaping wide. You can't put a bit in a gaping wide mouth, and so it's somehow connected to like the very front of the head stump. Where the nose would be, but there's no nose.
I feel like it's like all the sound effect that's going to come off this thing is like suction cups that are way too wet. Like you're just like on a wet, like flat surface, just lots of popping. I hate this thing.
Outlander Frog in chat says, what if the reins are just more tentacles? Maybe they're just tentacles that grow off the front of the face.
Tentacles coming off, and they're like, hey, if we tie these tentacles up, we can totally get to where we need to go.
Right. You know, it's maybe the weirdest thing about this is that look at the legs and the feet. It just basically has normal horse feet. Everything else is super weird. Normal horse feet.
Its tail kind of looks like... So continuing on this monstrosity of a creature, it's almost like when you have like a... to a crossover to like Diablo with necromancers being very common in that game. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's necromancers in Elder Scrolls Online, but the reason is aesthetically that like bone overlay with like the skin just barely covers the bone thing.
Or it's like some sort of carapace, almost like it's an outer shell of bone.
Yeah, and it's got that on the lower part, and like the tail just looks like a black bone, like a bunch of bones held together by skin.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. Yeah. The hooves and legs are just like, oh yeah, and then horse.
And then just horse at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's fine, I guess. Yeah, so the super weird thing, not a whole lot of lore that we can have to back this up. We don't know where these came from, who constructed them, which Daedric prince, probably Hermaeus Mor, but
yeah,
outside of that, we don't really know a whole lot about them.
So, I don't like it.
I don't like it. They're disgusting.
I don't like this thing. I didn't like it when it was announced. I don't like it now. I kind of like
the part of me that's just like, oh, this is gross, is like, okay, this is absolutely gross. The part of me that's like, this is cool because it's gross, is also like, this is cool because it's gross. And I'm definitely going to have a character that rides around on this at some point.
Sure.
I haven't leveled up my new what are they called? The new class.
The Arcanist.
The Arcanist. I haven't leveled up my Arcanist all the way.
It almost looks more like something you would see out of like a Souls game. Like Bloodborne.
Yeah, it is kind of Bloodborne, but Bloodborne has a lot of Cthulhu-esque
chapters
kind of things. Yeah,
Apocrypha is very tied into that, but yeah, it's just
So that makes sense. All right, so let's move on to our second one for today. That was, of course, just so you all remember, Hermitage Servitor is the name of that. Next on the list is the Hearn. Okay, we're starting out with ESO. We're now going back in time to Battlespire, classic Elder Scrolls. Hearns, also called Masterna, are not to be confused with the Isle of Hearn, which is a location. They are a race of hoofed, hunter-oriented Daedra that have been seen in service to Mehrunes Dagon and Clavicus Vile. Fitting to their nature, some have been seen participating in the ritual of the Innocent Quarry.
Yes.
So this is the ritual of the Innocent Quarry. Do you want to talk about this a little bit? I've been talking
about
it. Sure.
So this is a Battlespire reference. There's actually an entire level. It's a rather involved level. But more or less what happens is there's a giant Daedric hunt, which is interesting because Hercene wasn't really established.
Yeah, this is like pre-Hercene Wild Hunt sort of thing. Yes. Not Wild Hunt, but like Great Hunt.
Great Hunt. Right.
Yeah.
So the quick overview to this kind of thing is this is actually tied into Mehrunes Dagon specifically more than anything else, which is weird. But what happens is this level in Battlespire, you are one of the hunted. The Daedric creatures are out on this giant hunt and you're one of the potential targets. And the sort of unfair advantage is the Spear of Bitter Mercy is wielded by one of these Hearns. And he basically like invincible otherwise, except to this thing. So you need to more or less get a hold of this thing so that you can use it, which is sort of against the rules, but the rules are also kind of, hey, whoever does the best wins.
Yeah,
very much like here's
the survive
thing. It's just
survive,
right? It's just prior to that being kind of formulated more concretely to its own Daedric prince. But there's a lot of tie-in in Battlespire that's kind of attribute stuff that we would normally think with Hercene with Dagon in that one. Like there's even the Great Hunting Lodge and stuff like that. It's just, it straight up looks like the Deadlands. It's just like, what? But this is kind of before that was entirely ironed out. But these Hearns are out in these fields basically participating in this giant hunt. And you are essentially the hunted for quite some time.
Right. So these are the Hearns that are running around. And they look like, I'll put them back up on the screen. They look very much like, what, a satyr? They've got these like hooved feet. They've got horns on their heads. The kind of pointy tail, human.
What's the thing from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Tumnus or whatever?
Pan?
That thing.
Yeah.
They look a little like that. Like,
right. Yeah, so.
Goatmen in Diablo, a little less goatish. But
yeah.
But less horse centaur, like chop off the back horse bit, you just got the front horse bit of a centaur. Like all of these things are kind of just similar to what a Hearn kind of is.
Right. So you got the pointy tail, almost like the traditional view of a devil, with the idea of like the hoofed feet, but then the human torso, but then the horns on the head and the pointy tail.
Yeah, and earthen tones instead of red.
Right, right. So, you know, like an actual creature. But outside of this, they do show up in ESO a little bit, but not these are not regularly used Daedra.
No, they're very common. They're most prevalent from Battlespire. The image on the site or on UESB is from Battlespire. And when I think of Herns, they're a very Battlespire creature that have really not seen much use in the series outside Battlespire.
Yeah, there's like a funny little side quest or something in ESO.
Yeah, exactly. So,
not a whole lot going on there with those guys.
No, there's more fawns recently used, which are not quite the same. Like, it's I guess they could be in the same genus or something like that.
Something like that.
but whatever, those are a little more prevalent in ESO. Whereas, like, yeah, when you think of Herns, you're going to Battlespire if you're pulling from these so far in the series.
Right, right. So not a whole lot more info about them. But here, let's move on to our third one before we take our mid-break, because these are kind of short. We might get through more today than we normally do. This next one is a Horvar Daedra. I'll put this up on the screen. If spiders creep you out, then this one absolutely will end up on your, don't touch, don't look at, whatever list.
Yeah, Horvars are just like giant ticks.
Yeah, like tick spider ticks. Giant
They're
spider
like
ticks.
Spider ticks, yeah.
Yeah, with like a weird like head in the almost like a human torso stuck to the front.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it says.
And they come in various sizes. Some are more tick like, and the one you got on the screen right now is like really, really like much more humanoid, but also spiderish.
Yeah. But it's a big old mama. You don't want to touch this guy. All right. Well, we'll get into the description, the visual description in a second. But here, this is what the UESP says. It says Horvor Daedra are grotesque Daedra, somewhat similar to spider Daedra. Obviously, similarities there with the number of legs and the like big fat body sort of thing going on. They are native to the Spiral Skyne and serve the Daedric Prince Mephala. As their name suggests, they bear the features of Horvors. They attack by biting, spitting bile, and summoning explosive Horvors. They summon more Horvors that are explosive at you. These are only found in ESO as of right now. And this clearly says to me, we need a big scary creature or small scary creatures to throw in a dungeon. Let's make stuff that looks crazy. And here you go. Kind of from the meta perspective, you know? So visually, yeah. Go ahead.
No, they're just, again, this is more nightmare fuel. These things are just, they're Horvors, just like the standard non-Daedric version of these things are also in the series and a little less horrific. The Daedric version is just like a hyper amped up version of these things.
Yeah, you were saying they kind of look like ticks. So the regular Horvors here on the screen.
The regular Horvors straight up look like ticks.
Right.
These look like humanoid ticks mashed in with a spider.
Right, yeah, yeah. So like, and we've seen it before where you end up with like a Daedric version of a thing that is kind of this corrupted, more evil looking version of like a regular kind of creature. So take big fat tick looking things with lots of legs and then Daedrify it. And now you have spikes on its back. You have really angular pointy legs and maybe even a human torso kind of stuck on the front. And now you've got a Horvor Daedra and
Horvart. That's what one of their names is. Horvart the Horvor.
Hello, nice to meet you. I am Horvart. Good evening.
Good. Well, he became a lot less intimidating.
Yeah, he's like he works at the grocery store. He's the local grocer for the other Daedra. That is going to be a side story that we put out. That's going to be a new podcast, The Adventures of Horvart, the Daedra. It's a fan fiction turned into a podcast with only one voice actor, me. That's not a real thing. Don't go looking for it. It doesn't exist. I don't think it ever will. Unless somebody else wants to make that, go for it. But
you have all licensing rights that we're allowed to provide.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like, I don't know, kind of run of the mill ones of these things where they're a little more commonplace. But these things also in the Elder Scrolls Online tend to have like specifically named versions that are bigger and substitute as bosses,
right?
Pretty commonly in dungeons. I mean, there's plenty floating around that aren't that important, but these are a pretty common boss type enemy.
Yeah, it, like I said earlier, it feels like the kind of thing that, you know, developers of a game that gets updates every year have to go, okay, we need something new and creepy. Let's just make a big funny spider looking thing that's inspired by the Horvors. And now we've got a new monster, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, like, I don't have an issue with that because the realms of Oblivion are vast and ancient. And the idea that over large swaths of time, you wouldn't have all of these different kinds of creatures and different formats. And
sure, you know,
the Daedric Prince is just kind of messing with them and one-upping each other with, like, the next monstrosity they send after the other Daedric Prince when they get in conflicts. Like, it totally makes sense. There'd be just like endless varieties of these creatures.
So, yeah. And like I said, a lot of them, well, not a lot of them, but some of, like, I don't know, they're a little less frequently just generic throwaway enemies. I mean, there are plenty, but there are several that are named, like Villadreth. It's like, okay, well, that's like a named, I don't know, Daedric thing. But it's like, it's not even just like Daedric Horvor. It's literally named Villadreth, and it's the end of one of the dungeons.
It has a name. Like,
Exactly. It's got enough of a rank. It's like, it's remembered briefly.
You mortals, you will think all of us Horvor Daedra are the same. My name is Villadreth. Remember that after I kill you. That's not exactly how that works, buddy.
It's like, I don't think that's... I feel like either I'm going to kill you and I'll remember your name because I triumphed over you, or I don't make it out of this and then I don't remember your name because I'm dead.
Then it doesn't matter.
Yes, but you mortals are also racist against us Daedra. We have names and feelings too, you know.
one of those dungeons needs to end up with some giant Daedra just going on this tangent about he doesn't get respect from mortals. Like, not like they, most of them care, but for some reason this one does.
Just one is very particular that he keeps getting left out.
Right, right. And maybe he's the boss of a dungeon that lots of people go to, and so he keeps getting killed over and over again, and then like reincarnated, which is we've talked about, is a horrific process, and he's just like super pissed about it. But even more so, just that nobody remembers his name, even though people keep killing him over and over again.
It's just, and it'd be funny, just like, you know, such a waste of resources. But in the idea that the lines get increasingly more insane,
right?
The more times you complete the dungeon.
Yes. Like every time you go back to the dungeon for your specific playthrough on your on your system, maybe not everybody in the group, but you specifically hear a new voice line about like, "So we meet again. Do you remember my name this time?"
Yeah.
No, I didn't think so.
It's like, all right, not even using words anymore.
I'm gonna murder you even harder. It's like, you didn't murder me last time. No, well, whatever,
dude. We've done this 22 times.
One of these times you'll remember my name.
That sounds great. You got like 6 neurons left up there from all these reincarnations.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, well, we need to take a break and go thank our patrons, so we will be right back, but don't go anywhere.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons, including our newest patrons. I don't remember if we welcomed iWraith last time, but
That doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, it's some of these are dated, and the join date is before when we would have recorded, but for some reason, maybe just didn't show up on the list right away. I don't know how that works. But anyway, welcome, iWraith, and welcome, JB, to the Patreon. And thank you to all 122 of our current patrons and to our Daedric Princes. You get shout outs every week. That includes Kiracy and Sheogorath Sweet Roll. Thank you for your support, for being here and supporting the show, and just being a part of everything. If you are interested in checking out the Patreon, go to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You can look it up. You can see all the new t-shirts and stickers that are up as of this week on the Patreon. We've got new designs for even more Daedric Princes, our third set of four Daedric Princes. If you sign up at like tier three, you get stickers every 3 months, and tier four or higher, you get a t-shirt every 3 months. And if you stay around for the whole year, you'll get all four t-shirts. And I think they're super cool. I can't have them because they're only for patrons. And I posted them up on the Discord. People were
kind of weird
excited
to subscribe to our own Patreon.
Yeah, I mean, I could cheat and just like print my own shirt, but
just
like,
make extra for.
It's not
whatever.
Really how that
it's
works.
Not the same.
It's only for patrons. It's only for people who support the show. And then once the designs go away, you don't get them anymore. So I bet there's at least one or two people in here. I think you probably are going to get all the shirts for all 3 years of shirt designs.
If they keep it up. I'm sure of that because a few people have been with us for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be cool. Also, we have the patron chat coming up in 2 weeks on the 26th. So if you'd like to sign up and join or stay signed up and join us for that, that's coming up in a few weeks as long as you're tier four or higher. And we also have some new reviews, Lotus. This one comes from JDHDSBD.
Rolls right off the tongue.
JDHDSBD. Maybe. And by the way, these are on Apple Podcasts. If you leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it out.
It might have been an abbreviation, but I appreciate your pronunciation.
We'll read it on a future episode of the show. This one says, amazing podcast. They're from the United States. They say, listen to this while at work. Helps me get through my long nights. This podcast made me want to explore the Elder Scrolls series more than I have before. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to leave that.
Yeah, that's very nice of you, and I'm glad it helps.
Yeah. And then we've got one more. This is from Grateful Maddie in the United States, who writes, a satisfied adventurer here. I just finished listening to every episode of the Fallout Lorecast, and now I've been enjoying the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. It's even prompted me to replay Oblivion. Robots and Lotus Ooh. Do such a great job with the show, from the deep, dark bits of the lore to the weird and wacky to making me literally laugh out loud at work. This is the perfect podcast for any Elder Scrolls fan. Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks, Maddie.
That's very nice of you. And also, Oblivion has my favorite soundtrack in the series. So good choice from that.
It's classic. Yeah, classic music. I can't wait. Maybe we'll get a remaster. If that doesn't happen, we'll still get Sky Oblivion. And that looks awesome,
say,
too.
I mean, if we got a remaster officially, that would be very cool. But, I mean, you know Sky Oblivion, not to be... It's going to be... way more over the top when we get that either way. And Ezra Belizer had actually commented on something on Twitter, because there was like a whole thing when that got leaked during all the Microsoft stuff that was theoretically in the works. Whether or not it's actually ever going to happen, who knows? But even he was like, yeah, there's a place for both of these. Like, they're not trying to tackle the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. Like,
right. They're like, we're still going to put it out and we're still having fun doing it. Like, and it would be exciting to have their version of a remake too. So
yeah, exactly.
Let's just enjoy
also,
all the things.
You can't get Sky Oblivion if you only play consoles.
That's true. Yeah, so. You gotta play it on PC. But thank you to everybody who takes the time to help support the show, whether on Patreon or leaving reviews or rating the show on Spotify or telling your mom, any of that stuff. Thank you so much. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
So, Lotus, I think this next one is probably the creepiest one on the list. Even though we've already been talking about some creepy ones, this one takes the cake, at least in my opinion. It's called The Hunger. Yeah. So here, we'll read it and then we'll put up some pictures. Hungers are ferocious Daedra, known for their long tongues, demonic appearances, and their taste for mortal flesh. The Hunger uses its long tongue to siphon the life out of its prey. It also makes use of its razor-sharp claws and can spew poisonous bile. They possess a paralyzing touch and have the uncanny ability to quickly destroy their opponent's armor and weapons. Hungers can also teleport. If they're not creepy enough, they can also teleport. In Morrowind, this is when they first show up, they're typically associated with the Daedric Lord Boethia, who is also known as Hunger by the Dunmer. They're also known to roam the Shivering Isles as servitors and guards. They are described by some as perfect representation of Sheogorath's darker side. They're also found in the realms of Apocrypha and the Gorge. Hungers have been observed to be more ferocious when in the presence of a warm body, which is described as a territorial hunting imperative. Their tongues can be used by alchemists as an ingredient in poison or potions to cure diseases and aid those who are afflicted by poison. Their tongues are also used by the Dunmer too, or as hair combs. That's right. Hair combs.
Yum.
Yum.
Yum, yum.
The claws of hungers have been known to be used to make filleting knives. Check out these bad boys. So here, let's take a quick look at the concept art for Morrowind.
That's what I was going to say. Please start with the Morrowind concept art, because that is by far the worst.
Right. I mean, this is almost like Alien, like the movie Alien inspired. Like, this is what's the guy's artist name? Geiger?
Something Geiger.
H.G. Geiger, whatever
the letters are.
I mean, you've got like the bottom half very much looks like a xenomorph, like an alien.
Yeah.
From Aliens. And then the top, you have kind of the horns and stuff, but like the jowls on this thing, the big jaw with the teeth and the tongue just kind of hanging out. Super.
Yeah.
Oh, super over the top.
I mean, these things never aren't creepy, but that is horrific.
Yeah. It's like nightmare fuel. And then if we go back up to the what we get in Morrowind, much less creepy, but
it's still weird, though. It's got like, yeah, it is a weird creature. They're very spindly.
Yeah. So, OK, so it still has the, like, I don't know, the weird kind of backwards bending legs that are like non-human, kind of more animal tile legs, right? Two little claws that come off the front, and then one off the back of the leg, kind of like a dew claw. And then it has like these spines that run down its back and then along its tail, and like the real thin arms. But the head looks less like alien, or less like this like big jowl thing, and more like a more traditional kind of alien, like the, you know, like the big eyes, but then like a round mouth that looks like the kind of thing on like a suckerfish, maybe.
Yeah, like a suckerfish type of thing. Also, I was gonna say, Rosica's actually mentioned it's like crossing a Wendigo from the Fallout design, like that's in 76. Like if you have like one of those Wendigo creatures, and mix that with a Hearn, it's actually kind of funny. That's a really good analogy for what those look like from two models also from Bethesda games.
Yeah. Oh, so this is fun too. We also on the UESP have a image of the tongue, a hunger tongue.
Oh yeah, just the from the alchemy ingredient
from the Skyrim Creation Club. Like somebody actually modeled the tongue for the Creation Club, so you can for some reason have that in the game as alchemy ingredient, probably.
Again, yum yum
yum yum. And then we end up with hunger statue in the Shivering Isles, and this one, they've evolved to be even creepier with a much larger but still kind of funnel-like mouth.
Yeah, it's just. Again, for anybody who's ever played Half-Life or Half-Life 2 specifically, those creatures in the ceiling.
The little pods that
the little pod things where they have like the little sucker fish face and like the long needle thing comes down. Mm-hmm. And if you touch it, it like pulls you up into the ceiling and you have to kill it before it like eats your head. That's like this thing's face.
That's its face. Yes, that's its face.
That's the, that is a hunger's face right yeah. there.
So we have some other pictures too. Like in ESO, we have the version of the hunger. It's obviously has more polygons and seems like a more yeah. fleshed out version of what we got in Morrowind with the bigger yeah. mouth kind of thing.
It's a little less spindly. Like the limbs are still super like thin and like elongated type of deal, mm-hmm. but the body has like thick bits as well. Like it's kind of like puffier and stuff.
Yeah, and the legs look even more insect like and less
they kind of
mammalian. And then the fingers are really long and like real lanky. Yeah, it's a little more bug-like
now that you say it. You're right.
Yeah, it is a little more bug-like. And then we have some different images from like legends.
Oh, yeah. Some of the legends art is very creepy. It's got different types of hungers you can see and stuff like that. And they're, I always say like the legends artwork is phenomenal looking. I think it is so cool. And it looks like there might be like different types of hungers because other than just like the cosmetic changes from game to game, which naturally happens, legends, there's a couple different ones. Like it mentions specifically the feasting hunger, and that's the one that looks a lot more like the one that we see in ESO compared to the prowling hunger or the crazed hunger or the starved hunger that looks more like Morrowind. So maybe it's how full it is. Maybe it's like a tick. Like the more it eats, the puffier it gets.
Maybe. Or maybe there's just like different, breeds.
Yeah, there could be different types. Different but breeds. It is interesting that they specifically mentioned kind of like starved hunger or, a feasting hunger. It's like it seems almost food related how bloated yes. they are.
Yeah, it does. Now here's one other thing I wanted to point out. The ESO concept art for these is also intense. The concept art is always more over the top than what we actually get in game because they have to 3D model these, they have to animate them, so they have to make some cuts to some of the design. These look way more hulking in like the upper body. And the front limbs come all the way down to the ground, almost like they walk almost like a gorilla with their knuckles. Yeah. And then the mouth is way more insect / dragon like almost with a huge tongue with spikes that just come out of it. These are intense. This one's really
cool. Size wise, this looks like is again, one of these is used in a dungeon as a boss, but these are commonly kind of like smaller, normal, like human sized enemies type of deal. But like there is an enormous one in the depths of Malatar. So maybe like that's worth the idea of like, they can get real big. Like let's make a real big one because we need a boss and it's easier to pick out a boss if it's larger in scale. So let's just have one of them really, really large. They're very... Again, the weird elongated limbs are just it's like the old version of when we discussed the clan fears from Battlespire. Mm-hmm. They were much more elongated and spindly with their limbs, and then it was kind of like condensed, and now it's like it's a dinosaur. Now he's a dinosaur.
Yeah, this one went from alien to insect monster.
Yeah.
So it's they all look cool. I mean, they're all cool designs.
Yeah, hungers are a really cool staple to the series that haven't been in every game. They weren't there from the very, very beginning, but they're kind of like synonymous with the series. When I see these things, I feel they're very recognizable to the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. So here, let's bring on a fifth one. This is going to be the first episode where we have five because most of these are pretty short. This one, we're bringing this back around to humanoids. This is, in fact, I wouldn't fault anybody for thinking that these are people in service of Daedra. They're called huntsmen, and according to the article, it says they are humanoid Daedric race primarily associated with the Daedric prince of the hunt, Hersine. They were also found in the service of demi-prince Fanuiten. Huntsmen are known to be highly intelligent beings and make capable hunters, warriors, and mages. These mysterious humanoid servants of Hersine from the hunting grounds were described as spear shakers, feuterers, F-E-W-T, I don't know this word, T-E-R-E-R-S,
I don't know that word either, actually.
And whippers in of the Lord of the Hunting Grounds. The appearance of Huntsman was believed to evoke Hersine's aspects. Mortal followers of Hersine honored him by emulating Huntsman apparel. So there are people who dress like huntsmen that are still actual humans, but there are huntsmen who are Daedra who look very humanoid.
Right. These are strange. Also, just as a quick note, just in case anybody's curious, you can look up more on that. We're not going to go into a weird tangent on Fa Nui Hen. But for anybody curious who that demi prince is, in the Elder Scrolls Online, if you're going into the Maelstrom Arena, he runs the place. That's who that dude is.
He's the boss of the arena.
You don't fight him. He's the director, I guess, of the arena. So that's just as a gauge for anybody who's curious. You can totally look up more information because there is stuff on him, but that's not what we're here to talk about for this episode.
Yeah. So it goes on. There's more. They follow Hircine and pursue great beasts, people, and even their own kind. Sometimes they hunt each other. Yeah, Hircine, you know, hunting. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, hey, it's always survival of the fittest, regardless of who the fittest is.
Yeah. So, some more information on this one. Huntsmen resemble men in Myr, but instead of mortal hearts, they have Daedric hearts. They are also typically seen wearing masks resembling birds' faces. These Daedra make reference to wearing the skin of their mortal prey to live as them on Nirn, which they will make their hunting grounds. At least some of the huntsmen can turn into werebeasts. Although little is known of their hierarchy, there are four known groups of them. The Davlin, the Dunir, the Gamir, and the Margamir. They often use antlers and spears and horns and hides, and they look like the kinds of people who would live out in the wilderness and make use of the things they hunt.
But sure.
I think we can assume from this that the reason they look humanoid is because they put on the skin of the people they hunt.
Yeah, this is
which
almost
is
like
super creepy.
I don't want to say a shapeshifter thing, but it's kind of like, yeah, if you're just trying to, if you're a Daedra who basically just wants to blend in the mortal realm and not give yourself away, and there's a high probability that you have lycanthropy or something else. I mean, it doesn't specifically say they have to be werewolves. They have could be anything. They wear boar or wear crocodile or something like that. But it's just kind of like, oh, how can we blend in so that we can?
Right. Well, it's just like a hunter,
like assassin version.
Yeah, it's like a hunter who kills a wolf and then takes the hide off the wolf. Now wears the wolf hide in order to stay warm.
Right.
But also to kind of cover its scent, to make it blend in more with its environment so that it can go hunt more wolves. Right. This is the same sort of thing. It hunts people. It takes the skin off the people, makes a person suit, wears the person suit around in Nirn so it can continue hunting more people.
I feel like one that would probably be pretty easy to notice. It's like, it doesn't look right. Like, unless it's a perfect fit. But as Roska again throws on a chat, puts the lotion on its skin. Yeah, very much Silence of the Lambs here.
right.
Like, yeah, I just feel like it's unlikely that they would get a perfect fit where you could just put it on like a onesie being like, hey, I'm definitely a human or myr. Like,
right. Don't pay too much attention to my the quality of my skin today.
Right. It's like,
What if it's the Daedric heart that gets emplaced in the human body that carries their spirit, and then they animate the body? So it's almost like it's a procedure where they somehow remove their heart from whatever carapace they were originally in, shove it into this new body, and then their spirit like takes over the body, animates the dead body.
Okay, that would
kind of kind of like Forsworn having like the weird heart thing going on.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It was like Briar Hearts, like you're growing them on the tree essentially, but like in this situation, like all right, so if that is maybe more the idea, because that would make a little more sense if that's how they're going to transfer, because like I said, wearing other defeated prey like a onesie, that's probably not gonna convince like that's not gonna fool too many people. But if you can maybe like, okay, I punch my heart into you and now I can control it, well, okay, if you got a shirt on or you're in werewolf form, you're gonna be all fuzzy, they're not gonna notice. So it's like that's a lot easier to disguise, because at least you fit the meat package that you're
the
in.
The meat package? Yeah.
As opposed to just trying to wear it like a shawl. That's a very different
right,
scenario.
Right. So here, let's take a look at the some of the art for ESO with these. What's cool about this is they just look like people.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell from just this like art that these aren't, I mean, these could be Bretons. Like, these could, this could be a Nord woman wearing yep. clothing. Like, you yep. can't tell.
Yep. Just generic need person here.
Right. Yeah. Like, this is some descendant of the needs. Like, you don't know. And they've got some cool looking armor, but it just looks like anything that, you know, somebody who is part of the Forsworn might put together.
Right.
Antlers on their head.
Or it could be Wood Elven. Like, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks kind of Bosmerish as well. It,
right.
There's a whole bunch of things that it could blend in. And so that's kind of like, I like your idea of maybe they transport themselves into the creature as opposed to the other way around. Because again, that looks very convincing. As opposed to, I feel like we'd get some Kirkbrideian pen and ink, like, oh God, what is that thing? Which yeah. I do love his art. It's really, really disturbing.
Right.
But it's like,
but these aren't disturbing. When you see them, you can't tell they're not people.
Yeah, exactly. This doesn't look like a monstrosity. This just looks like another generic hunter.
Right, right. So in that way, they're kind of even creepier.
A little bit, because yeah, it's a really convincing mimic.
Yeah. It doesn't have to like magically turn itself into something else. It just
right.
takes over the body and then uses yeah. the body
as like a host.
As a host, yeah. So interesting stuff. I would love to see more about these. I think it would
I'd be curious
really
to see if
cool.
you're onto something with that, because that sort of makes it make a little more sense than the initial.
Right.
Just idea of them,
because it doesn't look like a decaying corpse. It doesn't look like
no,
a skin that was
and
cut and then
it.
Refit over another form.
Right. They just look like other people.
Right. Right. So let us know what you think. Maybe you have a theory about these that we haven't covered. You can always chime in on the Robots Radio Discord. There are several thousand people on there. More people joining every day. There's a channel called the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Imagine that. There's a channel for every podcast on the network.
Weird.
Weird. But you can chime in and be like, hey, just listen to the episode. Here's my theory about Huntsman. We'd love to see it. And I'm sure a bunch of other people would love to see it, too. But that's going to do it. We had five Daedric creatures this week. A big group of things that we don't know a ton about, but we can speculate. So that's the
yeah.
fun part.
And, you know, a few of them, specifically hungers, are, you know, a long-standing staple, even if they're not like a really elaborate enemy type or creature type in the series. They're really synonymous with it. I feel like that, especially the Morrowind hungers, like you show somebody that, weird polygonal stuff aside, you show somebody the design of that thing and it's very much like, oh, okay, that's a Morrowind thing.
Yeah,
like, got
yeah,
it
yeah all 12 polygons. Lotus, you
all
got anything else going
polygons.
On that you want to share?
Not really. Just been very busy. I was gonna say we're finally getting to record. We're gonna have a full recap of the last 2 weeks episode of Tales, which we'll be recording live tomorrow, if possible. Because I'm kind of a little more laid up than I usually am, even though I've been very busy. This weekend, if you're interested in watching me stream stuff, I'm going to attempt to stream again. I think I've got most of my weird technical issues fixed, but I also broke most of my toes on my right foot.
Oh, no.
So
that sucks.
Movement is not my friend.
So you're
so I think
like
I'm gonna be kind of sedentary this week.
Literally
weekend.
Laid up.
Yeah, like literally I've been doing what I can to walk around, but yeah, this weekend I think is going to be a little more mellow, so I'm going to utilize that time. I'm like,
jeez,
you know what,
dude.
I physically can't go do all these other things I have to do. Maybe I can finally get some time to stream. So
yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy streaming and I hope your toes heal. That's
yeah, they're less the wrong color, which is
no.
great.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
I'm
no,
sure they're
really
all bruised looking. And
yeah, I dropped an entire top of a plate grill directly
oh.
on only the top of my foot. It was very impressive that I damaged nothing except my foot.
Oh my God. I just recently met a new acquaintance who is a foot surgeon. I was like, hey,
oh,
what do you do? Like we're at a social thing. I'm like, what do you do for her? And he's like, I'm a foot surgeon. And I was like, wow, that's I'm sure you see all sorts of crazy stuff. And he's like, yep.
Like, she's so oddly specific.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what your lady does. Well, I hope you heal up. I hope it feels better. And I hope it doesn't get in the way of doing other things like work and other stuff you have to do.
Work has been definitely slower moving around. So that's why I think I want to make the most of kind of just taking it easy this weekend. So I'm looking for sedentary things. Sometimes it's nice when you like, oh, man, I wish I had time to do this.
And yeah, then that's true.
Occasionally something crappy happens, but you're like, you know what? But now I can dedicate time to doing this other thing I wanted to do because I can't be distracted by something else.
Right, right.
So I'm going to try to make the most of it.
Change of pace. That's nice. Well, awesome. Well, check out the... not his toes. For some reason, keep thinking about your toes.
That. No, there will be zero.
Tales of Tamriel, not toes of Tamriel.
zero of those. That's nope.
So go check that out. Of course, I've got other shows on Starfield Lorecast today. We recorded that earlier today. We talked about the Starborn. If you're playing Starfield, you want to know a little bit more in details about the Starborn and what's actually going on in the universe. We shared as much information as we have and speculated about some of the ways that things might actually work. So go check that out if you're into Starfield, the Starfield Lorecast. Also, the Fallout Lorecast and a bunch of other shows that I do and a bunch of other people on the network, all at robotsradio.net. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here, Lotus and chat and everybody else. We'll be back next week with some more Daedric Creatures for Spooptober. And until then, stay safe out there and don't kiss a hunger. It's not going to end well.
Good God, no. Or that first creature. What?
Oh, Hermitage Servitor.
Hermitage Servitor. You know, don't kiss any of these.
Don't give any of these a kiss. It's just not a good idea. Yeah, don't. Okay, well, stay safe out there. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.